Well, I wanted to thank Mark Lerner again, great astrologer, always does a great job here for us. We're going to come back in a moment. We've got open lines. Now, Friday night, May 13th, Friday the 13th, those are going to be really different open lines. But this one, of course, it's time for you to sound off.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. And there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Gosh, I just love that clip. That's part of our open lines tonight. It's time for you to sound off. Welcome back to Open Lines. George Norrie with you, and you're listening to Coast to Coast, wherever you may be. And just by the look at the callers, they're all over the map. Let's go to Curtis in Toronto on the international line to get things started. Hello, Curtis.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good. Hope you are, too.
Thank you, sir. I wanted to follow up with you a story that I actually spoke to you back in October of last year. It was a Sunday show speaking to Vincent Jenna.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, it was the reading where he gave me about asking about professionally asking three different women to collaborate with them. And he gave a reading to me just to make sure that one of the women who had sandy blonde hair, just to make sure that I don't romantically get entangled with her, like, you know, make sure it's this business.
Was that his warning?
Yeah, it wasn't really much a warning, just to make sure, like, I was precise in terms of that, you know, it is business and it's strictly that, and if anything happens after that, it's just take it one step at a time,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to follow up with you because there was a show earlier on with Open Callers Lines, and I didn't get into chance to talk to you, but I think I was actually on hold. But the thing was, I wanted to follow up with you, and it's a great time now to actually can tell you this. But the thing was is that I did follow through with it, and apparently what happened to me was I send a business proposal. Now, I know it's archaic to send it nowadays by mail. Like
mail? What's mail?
Exactly. A business, I mean, I have friends tell me even email is pretty much outdated as far as communicating, but I digress in saying that. I send a business email to one of the women in England, and she's a YouTuber. And the weird thing about it was enough. Now, it takes a long time to send your messages to, you know, international by mail. And,
oh, yeah.
And when
sure
you
does.
Get it back, you never know when you're going to get it back. So the funny thing was is that I should have sent it by email. But the thing was is that I got locked out of my email account after 3 months. And I'm always active with it, but I chose not to send it that way. And when I realized that basically I could not have sent it the first time, I was locked out and I was writing the letter as we speak. So when I sent it out, I patiently waited and I went about my business writing my debut novel, which I'm still anxious to finish. But the thing was,
I want to read that when you're done.
Well, it's coming soon. I got about like three more chapters to actually finish off or not, but I'll actually be writing it under my pen name, which will be great for me. But when I actually got it back in mid-March, and the weird thing about it was is that it was, you know, when you get letters, you use a butter knife and you slit the sides instead of the
yeah.
heating it over
sure.
the kettle. Well, it was slit. Someone scribbled on the front of the letter, like just made this squiggly etch-a-sketch scribbling on it, and I got it back. They opened the letter, and it came back exactly to me the way I had sent it, and I was like...
You mean it came back like it was never delivered, even though you know it was?
Actually, no, it was sent exactly as isn't intended to, but it came back as if it was disrespected. Like, this person, whoever got it, did not treat it with the respect that it was deserved.
Right.
And I told a good friend of mine that I trust about the situation, and he told me that I should have made a video link, like a video video proposal, or even just wrote in an email. But I told him when I did this proposal, I tried to use my email account, and I got locked out because the website that
now,
I...
Now, what was the proposal, if I can
it
ask?
It was actually a collaboration to collaborate on a book, because I've written five other books, and I've transitioned now to write, you know...
In a nutshell, you send this proposal.
Yeah.
It gets read, you think,
yep.
But they kind of like... pushed it off.
Yeah, because...
And then how did they mail it back to you? In the same envelope?
They mailed it back to me with the slit open. It wasn't taped. It just came back.
You're lucky it didn't fall out, right?
Yeah, you're right. It didn't go. It's just like someone scribbled on the front of it, like the address, because in the UK, they have, in terms of post office box for North America, it's a P.O. box, of course, but I noticed in the U.K. they have a post address called Channel Flip, like two words, Channel Flip, connected together.
Well, you know, Curtis, my recommendation, you don't need them. Find somebody else. You know, simple as that. You don't. Let's go to Susan in Ohio, east of the Rockies. Hello, Susan. It's your turn.
Hey, George. I had a cute little... dog story for you. I know you're a big dog lover.
I love them.
You might get a little kick out of this. I have a 8-year-old Wheaton Terrier. I don't know if you know what they are.
No, they're little ones and they bark a lot.
Well, no. He's about 40 pounds.
Well, that's a pretty good sized terrier.
What am I thinking of? You might be thinking of the West Highland Terrier.
Okay.
These are bigger. They're about the size of a border collie, almost. Okay, a little stockier. They're a sheepdog, kind of.
All right, that's good size then.
And they are just lovable, happy-go-lucky, and very, very playful. Well, he was probably about 6-7 months old, and I socialized him a lot, and I would take him to the dog park. And we made a lot of friends at the dog park. And we was in there one day, and my friend Lori was there with her dog Ellie, and this gentleman was sitting on the bench, and my dog and her dog and all of them were playing and this and that, and the guy's just sitting there on the bench, and I turned around and looked, and I told Lori, I said, oh my gosh, what does Brody have in his mouth? And we looked, and he had a wallet. Somebody dropped their wallet. And so we start chasing him around, and this guy is just cracking up at us. Then he stands up, and he goes, hey, that's my wallet. My dog had taken his wallet right out of his back pocket.
It must have been sticking out, and he grabbed it. That's funny.
Well, it gets better. About 20 minutes later, these girls come in with their little dog. They lay out a blanket. They have these bags. They're, you know, my dog is walking over saying hi to him. They kind of ignore him a little bit, you know, and they're talking and everything. He gets in their bag and pulls out a bag full of money.
No.
And takes off.
You've trained him well.
That's what my girlfriend said. She goes, Susan, I know times are hard, but that's a little ridiculous.
How much did he get?
Well, we got it back away from him, and actually, he had about $35.
Smart,
change in there.
Smart dog there, Susan. Smart dog. Hey, you know, we take your text messages and questions. Tom's got one now.
Pretty cool dog. I like that story.
That's a smart dog.
Absolutely. This one comes from Jerry in Park City, Utah. Do you think man is ruining our earth? And if you do you think we can recover?
I am not a believer in man-made climate change, but let me preface it by saying we shouldn't be polluting the planet. And I do think man is polluting the planet. There's no question about that. Big difference between cyclical climate change that's happening, will happen, no matter what.
Right.
But man is polluting this planet, and we shouldn't be doing that. They're doing it.
Terrible. I see certain areas trash all around. It's terrible.
I've got to tell you, because I drive a lot in L.A. and a lot in St. Louis, the roads, the freeways in L.A. are the dirtiest, lined with litter and paper and junk I have ever seen.
Not all roads in L.A.
But the ones I see. And you compare it to St. Louis, that some of them are pristine. Some of them still, you know, they have litter too, but not like I see in L.A. It's almost as if they can't keep up with it.
Well, look at the population.
I know, but you know what? What happened to putting prisoners on the side of the road, you know, and picking up trash? Maybe they're afraid they're going to run away or something.
That's a good idea. I don't know why they don't do that anymore. I don't see them.
Or people who get, you know, checks from the government, give them a job. You know, say, okay, we're going to pay you. No question about that. We're going to help you. But we want you to report for work 4 hours a day. And this is your assignment. You know, you go out in the woods, the forests, and pick up trash. Or you go out in the parks, pick out trash or something.
Maybe we have to start a bill. That's a good idea.
I mean, it is. And, you know, maybe it's worthwhile.
Well, I think it is pretty messy on some of the streets, but I think we can recover, if that's the word you
All right, we'll keep that cell phone going. We'll take more text.
Excellent.
Let's go to Keith, truck driving in Wisconsin. Hello, Keith. Good morning to you.
We, the creatures of the night, salute you, George.
I hope so, until the end of time.
Amen, brother. Yeah, the dog seems to like the scent of mint, apparently.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know, a couple of years back, I actually found this on YouTube. Somebody had posted the audio, and Ian Punnett had a fellow on named Cody Lundeen.
Yes.
He runs a survival school down in Arizona. He's got a couple books out. I was wondering if you ever get guys like that on again. I don't know. I can only listen four nights a week.
I'll check in with Lisa and find out where the heck the guy is.
Yeah, well, guys like that. There's other ones out there. I think they're kind of that are interesting. Have some interesting stories, and you know, I'm sure there's plenty of coasties out there who might be interested in possibly learning more about survival. You know, you never know. One EMP can ruin your weekend.
Oh my God! Not only your weekend. Hey, Keith, thanks. Drive safely out there. Zach is in Greenwood, Missouri now. Welcome to the program, Zach. Go ahead.
George Norrie, good morning, sir.
Hey, Zach, how are you?
Oh, just fine. Thank you for asking.
Good.
Hey, I couldn't help but listening to the program the other night. We were discussing the technology of today.
Mm-hmm.
And stories just happened to pop up in my head real quick a few years back. It was probably 2013. I was out on my family farm in central Missouri, about 30 minutes north of Sedalia. And my cousin and I, we were out there doing some chores, and we could hear a jet. Well, we got Wyppen Air Force Base right down the road, so we kind of took time to kind of try and spot it. Well, this jet just come out of nowhere, and it just got real loud, and we kind of looked off to the horizon, and it was probably maybe 150 feet off the ground, like you were at one of them flight shows.
Yeah, okay.
If I'd have been standing right next to the barn, I could have just chucked a rock up and probably hit him, you know. But we just kind of thought that was interesting. But not even a few moments after he had passed, two Predator drones were in formation right on his tail. And it just blew us away because we kind of looked at each other. It was, did you just see what I just saw? They're tailing that jet.
Were they were keeping up with it?
Oh, yeah. Every bit of it. It was like he was using the barn as a point for him to like turn or something, because as soon as he got above my barn, he just took an immediate turn from the, he was headed westbound and then turned straight to the south toward I-70, and not even moments behind him, those Predator drones did the exact same turn in formation, and they were right on him.
That's interesting. Wonder why. Wonder why they were after him.
I think it's just them kind of drills that they do just to see if those pilots can remote control those machines, those crafts, on a piloted craft like that. It just really blew me away. And when the discussion came up the other night, I tried so hard to get on, but I'm just happy I really got a hold of you tonight, George.
Good thing, Jack. Zach, thank you so much. The drones fascinate me because you could have the operator thousands and thousands of miles away because they're doing this via satellite, picking these things up. It's really amazing. Let's go to Jack in Alberta, Canada. Jack, welcome to the show, and I hear the fires are subsiding somewhat, huh?
Well, a little bit, George, but first off, I really want to thank you for, and I really tried to get in last night for the intentions.
Yeah, that was good people.
Comment that I like to think that we did have something to do with that.
I think we did. I think we did.
Well, and boy, if we can keep it going, that would be so much the better. They're actually talking that this fire could be being fought for months, believe it or not.
And people have still evacuated? Anybody going back home?
Oh, no. No. A minimum of 2 weeks before there's even going to be an action plan.
Jeez, almost 90,000 people. Where'd they all go?
Well, they've spread out mostly through Alberta, but there's been a few that I've heard of that have made it out to B.C., and I would not be the least bit surprised that we have a lot of workers in Fort McMurray from the East Coast, from Newfoundland, and that a lot went back there.
My daughter was there when this was happening because she's engaged to a fellow from out there. And
yeah, I knew that. You and I talked about that before.
Yeah, and she was telling me about the smoke and everything else. It was horrible.
Well, I understand that some of the smoke has been spotted, believe it or not, as far south as Miami.
Wow.
Yeah, we haven't got any here in central Alberta, but it's just, you know, the way the wind is blowing. So we've kind of lucked out that way. But, yeah, Miami is a heck of a long ways away.
Yeah, it sure is. Just imagine what will happen if the Yellowstone caldera pops.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't even want to contemplate that.
No.
Hey, George, I do have another thing I wanted to talk to you about, and I'm watching the clock here as well. I talked to you a couple months ago now and asked you, and we ran out of time, about whether or not you believed that there was a secret space program.
And I said, I'm not sure there is.
Well, you said you thought there was, pretty sure that there was. But my question was, the next question would have been, is there actually any astronauts in space other than in the ISS?
Okay, now what I meant is I don't think there is a secret space program. I think there's a secret military program for space. But in terms of us going to the moon and Mars secretly, I don't think that's happening at all. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. So a couple events coming up. First of all, June 18th in St. Louis. Come to Lindenwood University for our live stage show event. You are going to be very surprised. So simply go to our website at coasttocoastam.com, click that link, and you can pick up your tickets there. And then in August, on the 27th, you'll find me in Asheville, North Carolina, at a very fascinating live stage show featuring Joshua P. Warren, the paranormal investigator, Micah Hanks on UFOs, William Forstgen on EMPs and the power grid, solar flares. All that information is linked up at coasttocoastam.com as well. If you go down a little bit on the homepage and just click those links too and come on out to Asheville, North Carolina. Okay, welcome back to Open Lines. Let's go right back to the phones. And don't forget, Friday night, it'll be Friday the 13th. We're going to get a little scarier that night. Let's go to Lakewood, Washington. Wayne's with us, west of the Rockies. Hello, Wayne.
Good evening, George.
You too.
Say, I wanted to see if you might be able to get some scientists that know about noble gases on. I'm sure you've heard of the noble gas engine, right?
I've heard of it, but what exactly does it do?
Okay, well, the noble gas engine is similar to what you might think of an air conditioner. It works as an internal combustion engine, but it doesn't exhaust any gases. It holds everything within itself, and it operates off of a spark, just like a spark plug, just like a normal gas engine does. If you look up Noble gas engines on the internet, you know, on YouTube, you'll see maybe a dozen or two different varieties that individual independent inventors have made, and a couple of them have said they're ready for production, but that's been a year or two ago. And you know what happens to these guys, that everything's ready for production. I don't know if they get bought out or
some of them out. Some of them do get bought out.
I would guess that would be the case, you know. And of course, the one that has always impressed me, and I think it's a story that I can't believe hasn't been made into a movie, is the David Adair story, because he came up with that.
He's been a great guest, too, on the program.
Fantastic guy, you know, and I can't thank you and Art. I've been listening since about 85, I think, and I've maybe heard him four or five times, and the story always impresses me. It seems to be the most realistic story of somebody that has seen some actual stuff, you know, in Area 51. And the story about the five-star general coming down there and getting them out is amazing. I mean, the whole thing is fantastic. And for the viewers, our listeners that don't know, you know, he invented a miniature nuclear fusion engine, and a fusion engine runs on its own power, never gets out of power. And one of those, even a miniature fusion engine, could probably put out enough power to power up a small town or city.
Yeah, I would think so.
Exactly. So we need to get in contact with David Adair. I don't know if anybody's tried writing a book about him or setting the script about it, but I mean, there's enough stuff on all the old tapes from coast to coast to write a whole script.
Oh, there sure is.
Yeah.
Maybe a movie on him.
Yeah, exactly. I'd love to see that. You know,
what got you into energy?
Pardon me?
What got you so interested in energy?
Well, just, you know, basically, you know, wanting to be an economist myself in my own vehicles and that. I did every little trick I could to take my 66 Oldsmobile with a big 425 cubic inch engine, you know, stock 300 horsepower, you know, that got about 10, 12 miles an hour around town and not too much better on the freeway. And I put the best lubricants I could find in, you know, the Arco graphite motor oil, and added a little molybdenum disulfide to that. I used solid copper wires instead of the standard wires. They don't give you all the power from the coil. I took it to a tuner, you know, where they actually tune it while it's rolling. A specialist, and I had him block off the back of the quad carburetor, so it was only running on the primaries. And believe it or not, this big engine car that weighed 3,000 pounds, Delta 88 Oldsmobile, 1966, I was able to drive it at a steady 50 miles an hour from Tacoma to Portland and back, 63 miles to the gallon.
That's not bad at all. Wayne, hey, thanks for the call. We've got Michael in Decatur, Illinois now. Hello, Michael. Welcome to the program. You're on the air with me.
How you doing, George?
Good, Michael. Thanks. What's on your mind?
Well, I kind of got a couple questions about Donald Trump and everything that's going on.
Okay.
Do you think he's messing up as far as in his presidential race?
What do you mean by messing up?
Well, I keep hearing a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and I want to know. I've never voted, ever. And what? Now that I see what's going on, I actually feel I need to do it.
Who are you? And you're going to vote for him?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of people like him.
Well, my biggest thing is, another thing is, what is his views on medical marijuana?
I'm not sure if he's come out directly and said anything about medical marijuana, which
I'm always wondering about,
which I think should be passed all over the country, because it helps people and it gets them off these horrible prescription pain pills.
Even that, even alcohol, period, it would be it's a miracle drug. It's not even a drug, can't even call it that.
No.
Natural. No, but what I'm asking is, okay, now they said that they were supposedly, I heard rumors that they were passing medical marijuana, or not medical marijuana, but recreational across the country?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that true, or is that?
I don't know. There's been some talk, by the way, getting back to Trump, that he has supported medical marijuana, but there are some people in the Republican Party trying to get him to change his stance.
His views on it?
Yeah. So we'll find out. Well, we'll find out what he does.
I mean, yeah. I've been wondering about that. And, I'm not trying to just vote in for whoever is that, for pro-marijuana base.
No, there's got to be more than just that.
I mean, everything he talks is true.
Got to be more. You know, you're close to Iliopolis, don't you?
Yeah.
I used to have a horse farm there.
Yeah. Well, there's tons of good stuff around here. I mean, I sold it too early,
Michael. I should have kept it.
Yeah.
Oh well. That happens. Take another call, then we'll take a text from you, Tom. Let's go to Gary in Santa Maria. Hey, Gary, what's up?
Hi, George. I was very glad to hear Mark talk about Mercury retrograde. With you being a Gemini and my moon in Gemini, we get hit by it a little harder than most. And there isn't many astrologers out there that would have recommended that you start paranormaldate.com when Mercury was retrograde last year. And those same astrologers would have advised me on April 30th, not to start Rebel Insiders on the YouTube channel that I started. But I wanted to keep the same vibration, Mercury retrograde aside. It has some very powerful uses. And most astrologers, in fact, I got a lot of flack from astrologers that thought I was out of my mind for starting a YouTube channel when Mercury was retrograde. But it's especially useful for research, solving past woes, and a lot of other stuff. But my little Rebel Insiders, all one word plural, under YouTube, good standing with YouTube.
Hey,
so far.
We did a little intention to try to get it to rain in Alberta province at Fort McMurray. I think
just watch the astrology; it'll amplify it by about 1,500 times whatever anybody does. I talk about that a lot on my little YouTube channel.
All right. Well, they need it.
Can I talk about horse farms for a minute?
Yeah, why not?
You were in the horse business. I was, too. I was one of the first lobbyists with the American Horse Council in Washington, D.C. in the early 80s. I worked with Gerald Hoffberger, who owned Pimlico Raceway. And I did I was instrumental in lobbying to get satellite wagering to the fairgrounds. I also worked with Frank DeFrancis, who owned the Trotter Track in Maryland.
Huh.
And if you did a weighted, you talked about it before on the air, you did a weighted database for bloodline research.
Yes.
That's artificial intelligence. It's rudimentary,
yep,
but it's still artificial intelligence. I did the same thing, but across all horse breeds, show horses and race horses, and started horse industry presentations and horse industry communications. That's short for HIP, HIC. And this was 1982.
You were way ahead of your time, too, Gary. Let's go to Alex in Carterville, Missouri, east of the Rockies. Alex, welcome to the program. You're on the air with us.
Well, thank you, George. You are the best.
Try to put in a nice day's work.
Well, I'm going to ask you the question that'll prove you're the best.
All right.
You got all these guys, Ben Ferguson, Glenn Beck, Mark Levine, Dana Lash, Rush Limbaugh, Hannity. And I tried to call them all with Roger Stone, mentioning about that out of the 17 that Trump was the only one that wasn't in the New World Order. None of them are interested in hearing it. They either hang up on me as soon as I say it or ignore it. And so what I'm wondering is, what do you think about the talking heads' responses here?
Well, as you know, we have talked about the New World Order for years on this program. And by the way, Alex Jones is my guest this week, and we'll be talking about the New World Order as well. It's real. They control the destiny of everything. They control most politicians as well. Mainstream media guys just don't touch that. They never have. But we alternative folks, even though we're considered mainstream with this show because it's so big, we take it to a different level. And so Alex, you know, it's out there. It's real. And you need to be aware of it because they manipulate and they control, and they're frustrated right now because they're not getting everything they want. David's in St. Augustine, Florida, first-time caller. David, welcome to the show.
Good morning, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing. My pleasure.
I was calling. Hopefully, you can give me some advice. I don't know if you can or not. Maybe somebody out there and
maybe somebody else can.
Maybe so. My wife and myself and my two girls, we live in St. Augustine, which is about 2 hours away from Orlando. We're Disney fans, Disney fanatics. We connect pins, and there used to be an outlet store here we went to, pin trading and whatever. Anyway, to make a long story short, last Labor Day, St. Augustine was celebrating its 450th anniversary, and it was a big to-do here in town. We decided we wanted to get away for the weekend, so we went to Disney. And got there late on Friday evening, went to about three of the different resorts, were staying at the Pop Century Resort, came back late. There was this funky smell in our room. I called downstairs and said, there's some chemically smell in our room. Could you do something about that? And the lady said, well, I'll send somebody up. But we were already in our underwear. This was late at night.
Yeah.
Getting ready to go to bed. And we were trying to get an extra night. We wanted to stay an extra night. So I'd called back downstairs to the, well, I thought I was calling downstairs, and I asked him if they could give me an extra room. And they put me on hold for like 15 minutes, which was unusual because Disney's usually really great about hurrying up and doing whatever you ask.
Yeah,
them
they're
do.
Quick.
Yeah. And I, let me say first and foremost, I love Disney. We'll continue to love Disney regardless of what has happened. This was, like I said, back in Labor Day.
Okay.
About 12:30 at night. Well, I called downstairs, and they finally came back on the phone, and I was a little frustrated with them. And I said, you know, it's taken so long. I could have built a meth lab in my room in the length of time it's taken you guys to answer my question. And I think the reason I said that was because the methane gas smell that was in the room, I felt like the toilet had burped or something.
Sure.
Anyway, I don't know. I've never been a fan of whatever that show was that did the meth people or whatever it was.
Breaking Bad.
54 years old. And my wife and I have adopted two children from China. I work with my church kids, you know, and I've had background checks. I worked in a children's home for 7 years. Anyway, make a real, real long story short, they came to my room at like 12:30 that night.
Okay.
With the Orange County Police, Sheriff's Department, and the security of Pop Century, and told me I had an hour. First of all, they knocked on the door and said, could you step out here? Well, I was in my underwear. I'm also handicapped. I use a power wheelchair. I can walk, but I can't walk that far.
Okay.
That back.
I'm with you.
My wife does also. She's got deteriorated. Anyway, when you go into a Disney place, you can't walk a lot.
All right, we got to make this long story short. We're almost out of time.
Anyway, they kicked me out of the hotel. They said, you've got to leave now. You've got an hour. You're trespassed from Disney.
Why?
Yeah, because they said, I said, what are you here for? And they said, we came to see your meth lab. I said, what?
Your meth lab.
Yeah, and I said, come in the room. Check me out. For God's sakes, I got two kids in here. What do you think, I'm crazy? I said, I called down there and said, I could have built a meth lab. Anyway, I went all over I'd had it. I went over the internet with it. I was on radio shows about it.
They really kicked you out.
Oh, my God. The reason I'm calling is the advice is they told me to get back to Disney. Now, they said they were just going to kick me out. But they said, you're trespassed. You can't come back on Disney property. Well, what in the name of God was I supposed to do? My family, your family can stay. Well, they couldn't. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, it was raining that weekend. We had to go drive through Orlando. I'd already taken my night.
This is bizarre.
Yeah. Try living it. And so anyway, I got in touch with everybody I could think of to get back with the management and everybody else. They came and wrote me, told me a letter by Florida statute, blah, blah, blah. Your stay at Pop Century has been considered detrimental. The sheriff's people were there, and they were frustrated.
Did you ever get charged with anything?
No. If I'd have stayed there, which is what I should have done, was allowed them to arrest me because it would have been false arrest. There was nothing in our room.
Did they check out the room?
Yeah, they came in. I got it, started putting my camera. I said, honey, we need to videotape this. I went and asked the people, why are you doing this? They said, you said you had a meth lab in your room.
And I'm sure you said, no, I did not say that.
Yeah, I didn't say it. And so I'm going, for God's sakes, you've got to be kidding me. It was bizarre. Anyway, and so.
So real fast, what advice do you need?
How do I get from being trespassed to Disney?
Well, I tell you what you have to do, and it's going to cost you some money, is you need a lawyer, and you got to sue somebody for doing this to you. I mean, that's just the thing. Quick text from you, Tom, before we're out of time for the hour.
Yes.
Unbelievable story.
Poor guy. I don't mean to laugh. Christine in St. Louis. She says, I keep hearing that Hillary will shed more light on the UFO subject if elected. Do you believe this, or do you think she's just trying to get votes?
Well, you know, I don't know how many people are into the UFO field. Our show's very big.
Yes, it is.
But we've got that iron core group of people. I don't think she's doing it for votes. John Podesta, who's been her aide, who worked with her husband Bill, has been interested in UFOs. He feels if they have dropped the ball and they haven't gotten the UFO issue resolved yet. So I think that's just one of her issues. I think she wants to come across as the presidential candidate who cares about people and their concerns. Now, we'll find out if she gets elected, we'll find out if she's going to do anything.
Well, she's got a lot of work to do because she was quoted as talking about Area 51 and she had the wrong state.
Well, she's got a lot of work then.
Yeah.
We're going to come back with another hour of Open Lines right here on Coast to Coast AM.